Read it for me, please. Romans 8:26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
The what here is really, we do not know how to pray. That is praying acceptable prayer. The Bible says, and this, you know, as frail and wise human being, we need divine help in respect to how to pray. And the Almighty God recognized this, and seeing and knowing himself how important it is that we pray acceptable prayer, the Almighty God provides help for his people. Read, brother.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
You know, God makes provision for all our needs. Prayer is important. God recognizing our human limitation and frailty, and recognize how important prayer is for our spiritual development, the Almighty God provide help through the Holy Spirit. That is great. The Holy Spirit takes our need and our prayer and make it, fix it up before God. That's awesome. But there's another point about prayer to be kept in mind. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges available to human beings, sinful human beings, prayer. As you have often heard, God is only a prayer away. That is a fact. How can I get a chance to talk to God? Job said he wished there was a come between. We don't have to wish that. We don't, because we have that come between in Jesus Christ. When Job was going through his suffering, and when he spoke about wish there was a dazed man, that word means an umpire, a liar, a mediator, a come between. One who comes between two persons to bridge the gap so that there can be communication between them. Jesus Christ is here. And there is no more avail. Many of you have been here when we look on that, the veil through which the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ, that veil is split, open, so that men and women who are children of God, every day, every hour, every minute, every second, we have ready access to God. That is awesome. I usually use secular leaders to explain. Our Prime Minister. the Prime Minister of Britain, the President of the United States, name it. It would have been good if you or I have ready access, let's say, to the Prime Minister here, where there might be few potholes right on your street. And if you and the Prime Minister could talk, you'd go and ask him if he could just pull some string for you, he being the Prime Minister. Well, we have a person whose power and authority, there's nothing on earth to compare with God's power and authority. And we have ready access to that every second of the day. So don't take prayer for granted. It's an awesome privilege. Prayer. What should we pray for? What should we go to God with? In a sense, the Almighty God reveal word, place, no limit on what we should take to the Almighty God in prayer through Jesus Christ. God placed no limit in what we can take to Him through Jesus Christ in prayer. We are encouraged to take or cast all our care upon Him. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Read it for us.
Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
All your care upon Him. It's interesting that the word care that is used here, the word that is translated here, refers to anything which divides or distracts our attention. Anything. The word that is translated here. It means that which divides or distracts our focus or our attention. So when the Bible says casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you, all the issues that you and I face in life that sometimes sap up all our energy, our thought, cause us to lose night rest and to take away our peace and our happiness, the Almighty God invites His people to take it to Him. Take it to Him in prayer. And He didn't say some. He didn't say all. When prayers are observed and looked at throughout the Bible, and when you take into consideration some of the divine comments that we see on some prayers, these are some of the things we learn about prayers. And by no means will I exhaust some of the things, or all of the things that can be observed by looking on prayers in the Bible, Old and New Testament, and especially noting those on who and which God commands. We are going to look on probably one or two or three prayers. But among the things that we can learn about prayers, that is, when you study and observe prayers in both Old and New Testament, and when you reflect on the comment that heaven makes on any of these prayers, here are some things to learn from them. One, prayers of God's children. Well, let me break there. For those who might be among us who are visitors, not members of the church, not Christians, prayers is a privilege for Christians. We cannot overemphasize that. There is an ignorant belief out there that any man or woman in his or her sinful condition can just go to God at will. I point out that you must remember, members of the church, that prayer is a relationship privilege. Prayer, you must have a relation with God through Christ before you can have access to the privilege of prayer. Very important. Why? The New Testament, I didn't plan to go in that tonight. Both Old and New Testament. You have read the passage in Isaiah. It is not that God's hand is shortened, that he cannot help. It is not that God has become hard of hearing. He has hearing impairment. Why he is not responding to your prayer? The Bible says it's because your iniquity stands between you and God. And that is the same reason why the alien sinner today does not have the privilege of prayer. You must first give Jesus Christ a chance to address your sin before you can have access to the throne of mercy and grace. God is holy. It's God's nature that is at play. It's God's righteousness and holiness that says you cannot approach God just so. That's the whole point about, you know, and we need to understand. Now we know that God heareth not sinners' prayer, but if any man be a worshipper of God, that's a relation. Him he heareth. It has to do with the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. May I just throw something out here too? When the Almighty God burned up Nadab and Abihu, it has to do with God's holiness and righteousness. Meaning, when God set stipulation, process, through which you come to him, observe those processes. So prayer is a relationship blessing. You must have a relationship with Christ. So one, prayers of God's children should reflect the deepest, sincere desire of our heart. What we are doing here, what I'm doing, is as I've said just now, that when you study prayers in Old and New Testament, there are certain things that comes out. Especially when God commend. God does not always commend on a person's prayer. But there are places where heaven does. And what we find is that prayer of God's children should reflect that person's deepest, that person's sincere desire or the desire of his heart. That's one. Two, when we look on prayer and the divine comments, Prayer should not be selfish. Prayer should not largely be self-centered. In fact, when I gave consideration to this lesson, it was because of this aspect that I'm afraid of, that sometimes we might not realize that prayer, if it's going to be effective prayer, it should not only reflect our deepest sincere desire, but it should not be selfish or largely self-centered. That is, prayer should not always to get from God. Always we go to God in respect to what I want. We go to God with the, give me this Lord, give me that Lord. Always wanting from God, but not much thoughtfulness to return service to God and to ask in prayer for His assistance to enable us to give Him more service. Yes. Prayer should not be selfish or largely be self-centered. And if I make just that statement and finish the lesson, I beg that you remember that. Because so much of our prayers are self-centered. And it's usually about what we want. What we want God to give us. Prayer should include asking God to help me to be of greater service to His cause. Prayer should not be centered on my will and desire and ambition and goal always. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for the things we want in life. But selfish prayer is resented by heaven and it is condemned. Selfish prayer. Listen, James chapter 4 and verse 3.
Ye ask and receive not.
Stop there. Some of you are looking for the passage. Okay, find it. Ye, that is, you ask and you receive not. Brother Mitchell, who is the ye? Who is the you? Christian. 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 Read, brother.
Ye ask and receive not.
You ask and you didn't receive, which means you pray to God and what you asked for, God was not forthcoming with it. He didn't give you what you asked for. Read.
Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts.
Are you all listening? Here the Bible is telling us one of the reasons God is unresponsive to our prayers. Our prayers were selfish. our prayers were purely on the basis of wanting things. Watch here. It's not talking about needs. It's purely on the basis of wanting things. I'm going to have one of you read it from the Amplified, dear brother. You have Amplified? Please. 4:3. Because it's important that we get that. May I? It's not only that sinful living as such may hinder prayer, or does hinder prayer. Just having the wrong focus and not paying much attention to that which is important to God can hinder our prayer. And this passage is dealing exactly with that. Let us hear it.
Or you do ask God for them.
You do pray to God for them. You see, so it's talking about Christians. You do ask God for them.
And you fail to receive. Because
look how long I pray to God to help me to get that car, to help me to get that house. Look how long I pray to God to help me to get that better job or whatever. Read on.
Because you ask with wrong purpose.
You ask with wrong purpose.
And evil selfish motives.
Evil selfish motives. Brothers and sisters, prayers should not only include your wishes in life, it should include God's wishes. We must not just pray to God forgetting that God has goals and things to accomplish, and God wants His people to be mindful of God's wishes. Read.
Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures.
You all hear that? Sensual is really just worldly pleasure. You all get it? Worldly pleasure, secular pleasure. That's all you want. It's something to boost your ego. That's why you're praying to God. That's why you want the thing. That's even a good job. Are you going to be thankful to God for it? And don't permit that good job to come between you and God? Is that good job going to be an asset to you being more involved in God's work in the church? These are things God takes. In fact, this passage is an enlightening passage. Because the passages talk about Christians who pray to God for things and God did not respond to them. So prayer should not be self-centered. It should never be purely about our personal selfish ambition and desire. Prayers should include God's goal and objective. When we go to God, asking God to do this for me, we should also have in mind that I, as a child of God, want to do more for God. And that should be reflected in our prayers. Prayer should reflect the deep, sincere desires of our hearts. Watch here. And the deep, sincere desires of our heart should include, as primary, living and carrying out the will of God. Let me put that in a straight sentence. The deep desires of our heart should include living for Jesus Christ and carrying out the will of the Almighty God. That should be part of our desire. That should be part of what we want, what we're working towards. And when we go to God in prayer, that should be a part of our prayer. Prayer for the child of God should never always be, God, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. That do this for me must include, do this for me, God, so that I may make a difference in your cause. Give me knowledge, God. Teach me, God, how to teach. Give me the wisdom. Do you know that even that prayer where you pray to God regularly teaching you how to teach others, if you just want that ability to compete with another brother or sisters in the church, that prayer not going to go further than right here. So even when we pray for the things that look noble, if God sees that when we get them, they are just to do something to our ego and our vanity, God doesn't want that. He doesn't respond to those prayers. From the divine comment, and we'll have time only for this one, there are probably one or two. From the divine comments on Solomon's prayer, we can learn a lot. Solomon's prayer and the divine comment is also reflected in Jesus' model prayer. Have you ever noticed that in Jesus' model prayer, there is a lesson there for us to learn about what I am saying tonight? That our prayer Sorry, I'm a little distracted, but you know, sometimes the people who sometimes not so right up here, and we have to help them. Sometimes what comes to me is, they know they can come to church right in service time to seek help. But they don't know that they can come to church to sit and listen to God's word. Sometimes it makes me wonder. Anyway, As I've said, that in Jesus' mother prayer found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9 through verse 13, it's one of the passages I had in mind to look at tonight. I'm not sure if we will have the time after we look at Solomon's prayer. It's not just Solomon's prayer, but God's coming. It teaches a lot. As I said, a strong desire to see God's will carried out and come to fruition, be it my effort or somebody else's effort, that should be a part of our prayer. That is where within me, my belief system, my conviction, not only am I aware that if I have needs and challenges, I can go to God, but within me should be something else. I should have within me a desire and a wish to see God's will on earth carried out. I should have within me a desire to see and to be a part of those people who are actively engaged in carrying out God's will. And I should pray to God for all that I need for that work. In the same way I go to God for the things I personally want. What I want, what I think I need, my goal, my ambition. I should go to God too with the things that God wants. God is quicker to respond to our prayer when He sees that we are interested in seeing His will and purpose carried out. Look now at the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. I'm going to ask, brother, that you read from verse 5. Follow it.
In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night.
Solomon had just become king. Young, inexperienced. But you know what? You are going to see here, he had the right attitude. Read.
Appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked. God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou
wait,
hast
wait! Don't jump over that so quick. What an option God gave the man! Okay, let me see God. I've always wanted a bigger house than the one that I have. I have a nice car that takes me to all the places I want to go, but could you give me a 500 BMW or a 500 Mercedes Benz rather? Lord, I have a few hundred thousand in my bank account. Why don't you increase it to a few million, God?" And do you know what? If the Almighty God gives some of us all day to list what we want, 99% of what we list would be selfish things. Praying to God for things that will help us be more effective as Christian, leading others to Christ, helping men and women to know His will, asking God for knowledge that when I read the Bible, I'll understand it, asking God for the ability so that I can share it effectively with others, asking God to give me the disposition that when I invite somebody to church, No, sir, them they're not valuable. To whom are they not valuable? So God asked Solomon, just ask me for anything that you want. Let us see what he asked for.
And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord,
have you noticed with me the first thing? Gratitude. Gratitude to God. And it's not what God did for him, Solomon, so much. It's what God did for his father, David. And Solomon is, as a young man, he is acknowledging and showing God that he's thankful to God for being so good to his father. Gratitude. That is one of the distinguishing marks of every true Christian. To be grateful to the Almighty God. Read on.
And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father.
You have made me king. I replaced my father David, to whom you were so gracious and kind and good. Read.
And I am but a little child.
Humility. Are we all here? Are we all there? A lot of times we can be so inflated getting into a position that we need advice and help and guidance from nobody. Are we all there? Solomon is asking, acknowledging to God that he's young and he's inexperienced. Read.
I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people.
I do not know how to go out or come in, which means, God, I need your direction. Read.
And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be.
Wait, a great people. He had great regard for God's people, the Israelite nation. There are people in the church that they're always bad-mouthing the church. People who call themselves Christians, they bad-mouth the church with ungodly young Christian, weak Christian. My God, what's wrong with you? Solomon had great respect for the Israelites as God's people, with all their imperfection. Read.
A great people that cannot be numbered or counted for a multitude. Give therefore thy servant.
What do you know? Give your servant
an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?
We don't have a lot of time to. A simple request? Yes. But look into it. Solomon did not ask for an understanding heart to palave himself out there. No, sir. What he asked for was with a specific goal and objective. Listen it again.
Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people.
Solomon wants to be a good leader measured by God's standard. When he said to judge his people, to help them carry out God's will, when they come to him for judgment, to be able to give just judgment. Solomon did not ask for what he asked for his own ego and ambition and personal inflation. No. It was he's asking for that which will help him to carry out God's will. Our prayer should include that. When we go to God all the time and asking God for what we want. Yes. But may I? Those selfish prayer will not prove effective until we come to grip that God would like us to have His business at heart. Read on, brother.
That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this?
You all understand that? That I may know what is right from what is wrong. Many of us don't even realize that there are many areas we do not even know right from wrong. Read on, brother.
For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?
May I? Whenever you undertake anything, especially anything new, it's good to go in it with confidence, but not arrogance. Learn that and learn it well. When you go to undertake a job in the secular world, you have never been a manager before, or you have never been in a place where your work designation, responsibility, you have never been. Don't tell yourself that I don't need anybody's input. I don't need anybody's help. What you need to do is seek around right there in that company. People who have been there before, you have the knowledge and the know-how, and that can advise you. When you need advice, you know to whom to go. Solomon was acknowledging to the Almighty God that he needs help. That's humility. Read, brother.
And the speech pleased the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful? But you notice the speech? That also please God. But listen, God's comment now.
That Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked.
Watch here now. These are some of the things that the average person would ask for in Solomon's days, in our days. And this is telling you and me a lot about the Almighty God. The Almighty God watches and looks on what we pray for. Because the Almighty God knows the things that we constantly come to Him with are the things that are in deep down in us. Those are what our lives revolves around, that those are the things we make our priority. And lot of times, God's business is not our priority. Read, brother.
And hast not asked for thyself long life.
You didn't ask for long life. And look. Long life, is that innocent? Yes, it God help me to live a long life. That seems innocent. But you know what, brothers and sisters? Almost absent from the man's prayer is anything relating personally to Solomon. You can see why the Almighty God commented on this prayer. Read on. You did not ask for long life.
Neither has asked riches for thyself.
No, you know that usually comes first for us. Because we think that money can furnish everything. All to find out when you get a little more of it, that it only creates more misery. Read.
nor has asked the life of thine enemies.
Now this would be the natural thing for Solomon to ask for, truly. That is, God, help me that when I go out to war, I will always be victorious. I will wipe out the enemies of Israel. That's the natural thing. The age in which Solomon lived called for a prayer like that. But Solomon's prayer was all about God's will and purpose. We should learn something from that. Too many of our prayers are selfish prayers. They do not include we asking God to supply us with things so that we can be better, more faithful, more committed, more productive worker in His kingdom. We need to learn from this. Read, brother.
But has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I have done according to thy words.
God says, I'm going to be closing in a few minutes. The more you know God is the more you love God. Truly. We deal with an awesome God. You know, God loves to give brata. And when God did brata, Him give you it good. Listen, the Almighty God.
Behold, I have done according to thy words.
What you ask, Solomon, I'm going to give you.
Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart.
Uh-huh.
So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days.
I wish we have time. The Almighty God was so pleased with the man's prayer. A prayer that reflects a heart, a mind that wants to do God's will the right way. God was so pleased with that prayer that God gave the man wisdom and wealth beyond Solomon's imagination. We should not see to only get and benefit from Christianity, personally. We should have a strong and burning desire to give back to Christianity and to help others to benefit from Christianity. Solomon wanted the wisdom to be able to judge Israel properly, and to be able to know what was wrong from what is right. So impressed was the Almighty God. Master Solomon wasn't trying to impress God. The man's prayer was sincere. But so impressed was the Almighty God that the Almighty God gave the man such an awesome brother. What should we pray for? Prayer should at least include we asking God for assets that can help us be better worker in His kingdom. Be that asset knowledge, understanding, able to communicate more effectively, the disposition where when I invite a person to church, I have such a disposition that the person will want. There are dozens of things we can pray to God in a sincere way for that will help us to be more effective in the church. Let us include those in our prayer.